Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to get in touch with us that way right here on Giants.com. Fiegs, how are you?
What up, Schmelky?
And a big game coming up on Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Giants are winners now of three straight. They're going for four against the Bengals on a Ring of Honor Monday night, Fiegs.
Be a big night.
So let's start with that first because you had a chance to interact with all three of these guys. Ernie, of course, he brought you here.
Yep.
Tom Coughlin coached you. Justin Tuck was your fellow captain and teammate.
Yep.
Give me the rundown on these three guys and why you think they're deserving or not deserving to be in the Ring of Honor.
All three of them are well-deserving, trust me. I'll start in the by age category. That would be Mr. Corsi. You know, I just got to know him for the time that I was here, and obviously, like you had mentioned, Don, he brought me here. And you know, great relationship with Ernie, one of the guys that I always would love to sit down and have lunch with in the cafeteria, ask him questions about the old days, and he'd love to talk about it. But, I mean, you look at what he did and how he built the foundation, really, for those two Super Bowls and a lot of the players that he had drafted and brought in free agency, things like that. But wonderful man, easy to talk to. And then, of course, you got Coach Coughlin, again, just one of my favorite coaches of all time. And off the field, just an amazing person. Tom and I had a real unique relationship, being because I was so much older than a lot of the players, that he would call on me a lot to come into his office and just talk about things. And I think every once in a while, Tom wanted to get away from football, and he knew that I had kids and coaching football, things like that. And he would love to know about that kind of stuff. And he would call me in his office all the time, and I think that there was something wrong. I'd go up in there, and he'd just say, hey, you know, how the boys doing? And we was just talk life stuff.
Right.
You know? And it was just kind of a way for him to get that little 15-minute window of out of everything. And but, you know, today he's just what he's doing for cancer and the kids, things. He's just a wonderful person. It's going to be a great honor for him. I know that he's going to be very excited on that day. And, of course, Justin Tuck, just an amazing football player. Got to see him when he got drafted, come in and mature, turned into the kind of captain that you want to be, that leads both on and off the field. I think Justin was a guy that a lot of his teammates respected him. They could go to him for advice, and he would give them good advice. And he was a true leader, and he was a guy that that a lot of people respected and looked up to. And, you know, he got to play along with a lot of good people. And I think that those other guys like OC and Strahan and of the likes will tell you that, you know, he made them better and they made him better. So great honor for all three of those guys. It's going to be exciting to watch all three of them get inducted and see their names up there every home game with the Giants.
And, of course, the ceremony can be found on Giants.com. It'll be streamed live at halftime of the Monday night game. Or, of course, if you're in the stadium, make sure you stay in your seats. And you can watch that ceremony at halftime. It is fast.
It is fast. Man, they do a great job.
They do. Like,
you know, a lot of stuff going on. And really, when you have 12 minutes for a halftime to try to pack in three guys of that nature, it's tough.
All right, now let's get to the football game itself, Jeff. And I think
we got a game coming up.
The last few games, whether it was the Eagles or the Rams or the Ravens, whatever we were talking about, I think we thought those games were going to kind of be defensive struggles, even going back to the Vikings game. You know, these aren't high-powered offenses we were talking about in those contests. But
no. This,
to me, is the best offense the Giants will be facing probably since Green Bay. And quite frankly, Green Bay hasn't been the same this year. So I'll go back as far as the Redskins or the Saints in terms of number of weapons out there on the field.
Yeah.
Because the Bengals have plenty of them. Andy Dalton has a plethora of guys he can get the football to, and he knows how to use them. They might be only 20th or 21st in terms of scoring offense, but they're in the top 10 in passing, top 10 in rushing, top 10 overall. This is a very, very well-balanced and dangerous offensive football team.
The big one, we looked at our stats on, you're right, and their offense, they are top five. A.J. Green, 112 yards a game. So you know that he's a big target, obviously.
Second in the NFL in yards, first in receptions.
33 passes of more than 20 yards. That's big for this team. And what's important to notice is that, and this needs to be corrected, is last week the Giants gave up five plays of more than 25 yards in that Philly game to a Carson Wentz quarterback who did not throw the ball down the field, as we know, when we were prepping for that game. So you've got to be able to defend. I think it's a good matchup. Janoris Jenkins most likely will be on A.J. Green. They like to throw to the tight end. Tyler Eifert, who is healthy now. Big target, makes a lot of plays, and they have that dual-headed running game with Giovanni Bernard, who was my roommate and son's roommate in college. Just want to put that out. And then Hill. These guys are a good duo, and they make a lot of plays. And really, defensively for this team, we could talk a little bit about that, this just Bengals defense. You know, they're not as good as they have been in the past. They give up a lot of yards rushing, which is another plus for the Giants if they want to continue to try to improve their running game. And these guys make a lot of penalties. A lot of penalties, a lot of missed tackles. Watching the game on Game Pass the other day for the London game, just penalties everywhere, missed tackles everywhere. So a good matchup, in my opinion, for this Giants offense to go against this Bengals defense and make some plays.
All right, let's first talk about the offense. You touched on that first.
Yep.
A.J. Green, if he gets to 1,000 yards, just by the way, he's only about 80 away from it. So I think it's probably pretty safe he'll get there, even on Monday night, just 9 games into the year. He will join Randy Moss and John Jefferson. I should take it back. That was the Beckham number. But A.J. Green will become one of the few guys that have had more than 1,000 yards. It's each of his first 6 seasons in the league. So, you know, he's one of these guys, Jeff, that is tall. He's got great hands. He's got speed. Yet again, he would join Randy Moss as the only players in NFL history with 1,000 or more receiving yards in each of their first 6 seasons. And to me, if I'm the Giants, I would try to get Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie on him as much as I can. I think physically he matches up better. He's longer than Janoris Jenkins. I think straight line speed, he's probably a little bit faster. And quite frankly, Jenkins, Jeff, likes to be physical with people.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a hard time being physical with somebody as imposing as A.J. Green. And frankly, if he is that physical and Green's going up to get the ball, you might get some defensive pass interference penalties. The problem, though, is that when the Bengals go 3 wide, which they do often with LaFell and Tyler Boyd, they've been moving DRC into the slot. Then you can't have him on A.J. Green. I don't love the matchup against the big, powerful wide receiver unless they can figure out a way to get Cromartie on him for most of the game.
And most likely the Bengals may try to do that just because. They might say, hey, let's get this matchup. They might see it as a negative.
Jenkins has played great this year. There's nothing against Jenkins.
Oh, sure,
Jenkins.
Yeah. It's just a physical matchup.
Exactly,
I feel, yeah, you're right. And the other thing, watching the London game against the Redskins with Norman, he plays physical.
Well, he tried to, and A.J. Green basically swatted him away like a little fly.
Penalties on Norman. He had 5 last week or 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So you got to be careful about that. And so you're right about the physical part of the game. They have weapons all over the place. Obviously, their go-to guy is Green, and you're going to have to figure out something to stop this. You're not going to stop him. You know that. I mean, you're not going to stop A.J. Green. He's going to get his yards.
Correct. But you can't let him wreck the game.
No. And I think that really where you have to be careful with him is the big play. Don't give up the big play. The Giants, obviously we know, are very good in the red zone. They're their number one team in the National Football League inside the red zone. He's a big threat in the red zone. He's a big, tall guy, very physical. You've got to be able to contain him.
Exactly. And by the way, I flopped 2 numbers. He doesn't have 980 yards. He has 890 yards. So he's
dyslexic
today. About 104 yards away from that 1,000-yard mark. Now, the other guy you got to worry about, you mentioned him already, is Tyler Eifert, a very, very talented tight end. I'd say besides Jordan Reed, he's probably the best tight end the Giants are going to face so far this year. He missed the first 6 or 7 games of the year. He's played in 2. Then the Bengals had their bye week. So he's probably rounding into the best physical shape he's been in so far this year. And where they like to use him, Jeff, is in the red zone. He's a big-time red zone target. And where the Giants have struggled this year is covering tight ends, because it demands their safeties and linebackers to cover. The Giants obviously very strong outside with all the resources they put into their cornerback position. So that's somebody they're going to have to keep a really close eye on, especially given the damage Zach Ertz did last week when he wasn't even having a big-time year.
And you're gonna get a matchup with him with Collins. And Collins is not the best coverage guy. He's good against the run. He's good. But, that's kind of a matchup they might try to exploit there. But they line him up everywhere, Eifert. He's all over the place. And I feel like, just to contain him a little bit in the passing game, but he's going to get his yards. But more importantly, you got to be physical with him. Don't let him just run free like these tight ends have been doing all season. Basically, all the last 5 years, these tight ends have been running everywhere against this Giants defense.
Right. And now the good news for the Giants is that they have a very stout run defense, and the Bengals really have split their touches between Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard almost perfectly. Bernard and Hill have the identical amount of scrimmage yards, which means rushing and receiving yards together. They both have 576. Hill will get more rushes. Bernard will get more catches. Hill's the power guy. Bernard's more of the scat back, third down type of back. So that's something the Giants have to worry about. But luckily, their run defense has been pretty good this year. Finally, I want to touch on Andy Dalton. A lot of people like to dump on this guy because he hasn't won the big playoff game. But look at his numbers this year, man. 294 passing yards a game, 67% completion percentage, 98 passer rating, 8.2 yards per attempt, which is a good number. That's third in the NFL. The Giants are going to have to be careful with this guy. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
Right,
now, his record in prime time in his career is not great. Neither is the Bengals on the road, for that matter. That being said, the Giants are going to have to get to Andy Dalton here, Jeff. There's so many weapons. You cannot contain all these weapons. And the Achilles heel for the Bengals this year on offense has been their offensive line. Only two teams have allowed their quarterbacks to be sacked more than the Cincinnati Bengals this year.
Yep, they're 29.
This game, to me, if there's one thing I'm keeping an eye on, it's how this Giants defensive line pressures Andy Dalton.
Yeah,
because if they don't get to him and disrupt him, the Giants are probably going to lose. They need to disrupt this timing. Otherwise, these Bengals' weapons are going to score points.
And I think they have to be very creative in the way that they pressure, because you do have some good – they have good receivers.
Right.
And Andy Dalton is a smart guy. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. In the game in London, he threw his first interception in 167 or something attempts, and it was actually a bad – it was just Tyler Eifert stopped on his route. So you got to be creative with your pressure packages and make sure that if you're going to get there quick and make sure you get to them. Okay, enough of this pressure stuff. Just try to – we need some sacks. We need some sacks. This team is – horrible against the giving up sacks, the Cincinnati Bengals. They're 29th in the league in giving up sacks.
It's one of those classics, something's got to give matchups that I like to talk about. The Giants last in the league in sacks, the Bengals next to last in the league in allowing their quarterback to be sacked.
So who is going to step up there, right? Hopefully it's the Giants.
Something's got
to
give.
And really, when we look at this game as matchups, and I think we alluded to it a little bit before, I think this is going to be an offensive shootout for both teams.
I agree.
And I think it's going to be a mid to high scoring game. And then really when you look at when it comes down to it, I think that the Giants can win this game. When we look a little bit forward, John and I were just talking about this before we came on the air. This is a game that if the Giants can win this game, be their fourth in a row, they have a good chance to go and play one more home game next week against the Bears. And then, of course, everybody's whooping child as the Cleveland Browns on the road the following week. So the Giants can be in a good situation heading into late November, coming into December for a playoff run.
Yeah, with those critical five games, three of which are on the road, at Pittsburgh, home versus Dallas, versus Detroit, at Philly, at Washington to close out the year. So you want to be in good position. Real quick, Jeff, on the Bengals defense before we get to the full bank of calls at 201-939-4513. I see some new names. I want to make sure I get to you guys.
Nice.
This Bengal defense to me is very odd because historically the last 4 or 5 years they've been one of the better, most consistent units in the league.
With the same names.
Mostly. Now, they lost some guys in the back end, Reggie Nelson, for example. They
probably
lost
the most,
cornerback as well. So they've lost some guys. But it didn't seem to me they lost enough of them where it would have this big of an impact on their defense. But so far this year, they're 25th in the league in terms of scoring in terms of yardage allowed, 19th in terms of scoring defense. They're not sacking the quarterback that much. They're not great in the red zone. They're not great on third down. They're just a big basket of mediocrity in the middle to lower half of the league. And they've just been really, really poor on that side of the ball.
Their back end of the defense, to me, is where they're lacking.
I mean, you watch that Redskin game. Guys were not just open, wide open, all over the place.
And when we talk about game planning for this week, I got to believe that you got to get those tight ends involved in the game. You look what happened last against the Redskins. You had Vernon Davis and Reed running all over the place. Combined, those guys had, I wrote on here, they had 14 receptions out of the two tight ends the Redskins did. So I think that's going to be in the game plan. They gave up 546 yards of offense against the Redskins, okay? And they've given up 400 yards plus the last three games. Total yards. So Giant opportunity for this Giants team to really put some do some damage against this defense.
I think both teams could be in the 30s in this game. Wouldn't surprise me. I think
I'm just curious what the over-under would be on this game.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. I could check that. The Giants have not had a 30-point game all year. I think this might be – there's a chance to be their first one, to be honest with you. Then you'll have a chance against the Bears and Browns to do that as well. The one matchup for the Giants that I worry about offensively, though, is Brett Jones and Geno Atkins. Because Geno Atkins will be over Brett Jones a whole lot.
Yeah,
and Brett Jones doesn't have a ton of experience. He's a little undersized for the position. And Geno Atkins, maybe not the player he was 2 years ago, but he's still pretty darn good. And that's going to be something that, like A.J. Green, can wreck the game if Geno Atkins just dominates in the middle.
Especially the running game. Yeah. You know, and I think that you'd be fooling yourself to think that just because Justin Pugh is out of the lineup and Jones can come in there and do – he did a nice job replacing him last week. But now he's – you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of experience. He's a center playing guard. And I feel like, you know, there's going to be a step back. But I do think the Giants have a good opportunity to be able to establish the run game against this defense.
I agree. They have not stopped the run well. They're allowing, I think, 4.7 yards per carry, 23rd in terms of yards per game.
It's almost twice as much as the Giants are running.
Right. So you should be able to run the ball. Then again, we've had this conversation before with the Giants running game is and hasn't happened. So whether it's Paul Perkins or Rashad Jennings, someone should have the chance to run the ball in this game, and that would certainly help keeping some of those pass rushers off of Eli Manning.
Or will they commit to the run? Will they commit to the run game? And it just seems to me that they just quit on it too early. And you see the reason, but I still feel like there could be a little bit more attention paid and getting a little bit more attempts at least. Paul Perkins, fourth quarter last week, thought it did a great job, had some good runs. The screen game with Perkins is very successful. The Bengals will try to stop that. But I think that this Giants offense, to get the running game going, they need to against this team. They've got a good chance. They've got a really good chance to be able to control the time of possession, which the Giants are still – I didn't see the stats
still
as of
last.
They were still last week. Look at time of possession that the Redskins had last week. Now, remember, there was a whole fifth quarter involved in there, so the number is higher, but they still had they won the time of possession game the Redskins did over the Bengals.
Ready to take some calls?
Let's go. We got new callers.
201-939-4513. So
that's what we bring.
A couple of new names. Let's do Jason up in Maine. That's line three.
All right,
let's do him first. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hi, Jason.
Good. What's happening?
Not much. How about you?
Doing great.
Happy Veterans Day. As we don't.
You too. I just got a question. When I watch the Bengals offense, they have this play called Chaos.
Chaos,
yeah. I wonder if you guys can just tell us a little bit about what they're running there and how you feel that the Giants will defend it.
Well, first of all, defending it means they got to spend a lot of time in practice learning it. They basically go with four linemen, and then they spread out six other guys to tight ends, receivers. And it's really kind of a short – it's really an expansion of a screen game. They try to throw it outside, and they got the blockers in front, and they go. But, you know, what happens is it disrupts your practice schedule because you got to spend time on it. So I think that it's just something the Giants will have to look at. They have to come up with a game plan on how to defend it.
And it's something the Bengals can audible out of if your initial look isn't, you know, good
there
for that. And
yeah,
then they can get out
bring
of that
it back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So – good name, Chaos, because it creates a lot of chaos on the other side of the ball.
And
Fies, really,
what's important, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, it's identifying who the eligible receivers are on that. So you know how to deploy your personnel,
yeah,
so you're not covering linemen with DBs or linebackers, and you know who you have to cover coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, you got to make sure you know who's on the end man on the line of scrimmage,
right,
who's in the slot, and then apply that to your coverage and your defense that's been called. Definitely.
What else you got,
okay,
Jay?
Okay, the only other thing I got is just I'm wondering what the IR situation is with Shane Vereen. I heard the other day something about they can choose one guy to come off IR.
Right.
I'll just take this off the air, but just wondering what his situation is and what the Giants' choices are as far as players coming back from IR.
The two guys that
thank you, Jason.
The two guys that seem to be in the mix for that would be Mykel Thompson and Shane Vereen. Ben McAdoo was asked about both guys the other day at the press conference. He said both are making progress. They asked for more details. He said both guys are making progress. So he's being very cagey about when or if either of those two guys would be ready, but when they're physically ready, they'll start practicing, and I guess that'll be the hint as to when they might be ready to come off IR. Because other than that, Ben McAdoo didn't say a damn thing about it.
And the rule is after the eighth week. If
yeah,
they're put on there at the beginning, It's called designated IR.
To return.
Right?
Designated to return IR.
And I'm not sure. Is it one, two? It's, well, obviously, it must be.
You can only bring one guy.
You can only bring one guy. But
correct.
They were. Okay. That's what. So.
And no, but those are the two guys whose injuries might allow them to return at some point during the year.
And my guess would be the Shane Vereen. You would think. And just depending on how, you know, each player is different in their recovery.
Triceps can be a pretty serious injury, though.
Yeah, you know, and I tell you, I was talking to him last week and asking him how things were going, and he said, hey, listen, I feel great. It's just amazing how your body responds to treatments and things like that, and he says he's getting better. So we're a long ways away from this season being over as far as, you know, the numbers, like how many games are left. So there is a good chance that maybe he could come back. That would certainly help the Giants. That would definitely be, you know, something really exciting to have him come back in the lineup.
Let's go to line two. Kevin in New York. Kevin, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Loud and clear, Kevin. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the keys to the game on what the defense and offense need to do to win this game on Monday night. We'll start off with the offensive side of the football. You know, it seems like we're saying this every week, but, you know, we have to run the football better, obviously. And like you mentioned, Jeff, the Bengals are 23rd in the league in giving up rushing yards at, I think it's 116 yards a game. And, you know, it would be nice to run the football, you know. And the next thing, you know, is obviously giving Eli Manning protection to throw the football. And, you know, I think the Giants did an outstanding job last week against a really good Eagles front four in protecting Eli. And, you know, when you give Eli time to throw the football, you know, we saw what happened last week. You know, we got a lot of big plays out of it. And my next point is, you know, the Giants really need to stop turning the football over.
Yeah,
you know, that would help.
17 games in a row.
The first eight games of the season, they've had a turnover, and, you know, it almost caught a turnover each game. And it almost cost us the game last week.
Yep.
You know, so we really need to stop turning the football over. And, you know, finally, you know, the Giants need to do a better job on third down. You know, last week against the Eagles, they went, 4 for 13. That's 30%. You know, so they really didn't do a good job again last week on third down. And, you know, running the football and getting on, you know, in third and shorts would definitely help that. You guys agree?
Well, no question. Running the football on being able to run the football on first or second down and get into those manageable third down plays that we talk about.
The problem, though, is that Justin Pugh is your best blocking offensive lineman in the run game.
Yeah. So I think that, and it's kind of a broken record, you know, you're going to see a little bit of the extension into the passing game is trying to get some of those plays on first down. Last week, when you look at first down, the Giants were in negative second downs too much, and that's you got to get more production off of that first down play.
I think at one point Paul Perkins had 6 carries for 1 yard in that game, or something like that.
Yeah, well, they had 11 yards, I think, in the first half or the first quarter run. It was something just really ridiculous number. But I think that you're right about the third down conversions, and you know when you start to talk about third down, you got to talk about first and second down to get the third down and understand why you're in these predicaments. And more importantly, in my opinion. The Giants have to be very successful in this game because I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. The Giants' defense in the red zone stopping this potent offense of the Bengals because they have weapons down there. Okay, so that's going to be a really good matchup for me. But the Giants have to be better in the red zone. Now, the Giants, the new kicker, Robbie Gould, has not kicked a field goal since he's been back for 2 games. It's crazy.
No, the Giants haven't scored from the red zone.
No, they've been
scoring from that mid-range, like 30 yards, between the 20 and 30-yard line area.
Yep, with big plays. And really, and also what's been impressive the last couple weeks for the Giants defense, 6 interceptions and getting points off of those turnovers have been key to the couple of the wins they've had in the last couple weeks. So,
thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the call.
201-939-4513. Let's stick on the phones and say what's up to Drew down in Virginia. He's been holding the longest. Drew, how are you? Long time no speak, pal.
Hey,
hi, Drew.
How you going? How you doing? How y'all
doing?
I'm Jeff. How you guys doing today?
Super. Doing all right.
Super.
Great. Hey, you know, you guys kind of spoke on some of the stuff earlier, man. But, you know, for me, the keys to this game is, you know, offense and defense, and I'll say why. You know, offensively, you know, our offensive line, I still have, you know, concerns with it. Last week, you know, I mean, I know we did a good job, but you know, I thought Bobby Hart was, you know, I thought he got beat a little too much. And now with the loss of Pugh, you know, that's kind of concerning there too. You don't think so? What do you think? Okay.
No, I agree with that. I mean, the Bengals, the front four, they get pressure. They're good. They're a good group. And as John said, you know, they're not as good as they used to be, but they're still pretty good football players. And when you got a guy like Jones in there who's not a starter, you got a guy like Bobby Hart who's playing, really starting for the first time in his career here during the season, I think it is something to be concerned about.
Yeah, so you know that. And then defensively, I will say I do think our defense is playing very well. I certainly, you know, it's definitely an improvement. That said though, our pass rush has got to get there. And to me here, I think this is where the key is, and like you said, this receiver out there, I'm having a slow day today, man. With the back Green.
Oh yeah.
Beast.
Right. He's going to kill us if we don't get this pass rush, because no matter how good your secondary is, and you know I think the secondary's okay, but no matter how good they are, they're only as effective as your pass rush, and this is where the game. It's really going to be won and lost for me, from the Giants' perspective, is this pass rush.
They got to get some pressure on Andy Dalton.
And they should be able to, because he's been under siege. Even when the Bengals played the Cowboys, and the Cowboys have a terrible pass rush. terrible. They were all over him in that game. So with JPP and OV and Hankins, they should be able to give Dalton a lot of issues.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, and I think they will too. And then, you know, one last thing I want to say, and I'll actually take this off the air.
Sure.
You guys have Pro Football Talk on, I think it was Wednesday.
Pro Football Focus.
You had him on Wednesday.
Yes.
And he was talking about, he was mentioning about Eli and how Eli, you know, tends to be, you know, somewhat skittish back there, and, you know, even when there's not a pass rush back there. I kind of agree with him, because I had called in one time earlier this season, and I mentioned that I thought Eli was getting rid of the ball a bit too quick, you know, where I thought he may have had time. And I say that from the standpoint because that's also going to be the key to this game. I understand Eli, you know, doesn't want to get hit, and we got to take care of him, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, coupled with, you know, what I would perceive as his skittishness and the play of Bobby Hart, that's what I'm going to be looking at. Can you guys expand on that? And thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Hey, look, if you protect your quarterback, he's going to play better. Even if he gets hits a few times, that can affect him on later plays, even if he does have good protection.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the whole part of the Giants' offense is to get the ball off quickly anyways. You know, I mean, and really, when we look at the history of Eli Manning, we all know that when he does get pressured, he starts to get those happy feet and throwing off his back foot, things like that. They tried to improve on that by going to this short passing game. But I will tell you, the touchdown to Shepard last week, Eli stood in that pocket and waited and threw a nice pass to him for a touchdown. So Eli will stay in there if the protection is there, John, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, and the larger point that the Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus that he made the point that this year, more so than in past seasons, because he made the point in 2011, for example, Eli Manning was one of the best quarterbacks in history when under pressure. He was great, even when he got pressured. This year, when he's been pressured, his numbers have fallen off of a cliff. When he has faced pressure, he has not performed well. And that's really why the Giants' offense is where it is right now.
And I really think, I mean, if he could just say what is on his mind, he would say, you know what, I don't have a lot of confidence in Ereck Flowers and Bobby Hart the way that they're playing. I mean, that really is the truth. And we look at the way those two guys are playing. It only makes sense to me. You know, and John and I had never been in a pocket throwing a football, but I can tell you right now, I would be just as afraid to be getting whacked by some of those guys, and if my linemen are not protecting for me.
201-939-4513. Christian in New York is on line one. Christian, what's up?
Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Haven't been able to call in for a while.
Good to hear you today, man.
Finally got a nice holiday off.
So nice. Oh, that's right. Veterans Day. I see everyone is off but us. I was wondering why when I drove to work today there was no traffic. I guess that's why.
You're like, what's going on? You are in such a bubble. That's football.
Hey, you know what
it is
during the year when you're
in
the building
it's
like
a
this?
Just,
your whole
yeah,
week is determined
absolutely.
By football week.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a Friday. This is a Thursday.
Exactly.
Right.
It's a real Friday, but it's only a Thursday football.
Yeah.
What's going on, Christian? What do you got, buddy?
So, this year, it seems like they've sort of changed the offense a little bit from the last couple of years.
How so?
And, well, it just seems a little more basic. It seems like there was a little more creativity last year. And I understand that now Shane Vereen's not around. You can't run the exact same offense anymore. But it just seems like we could be getting some more quick hitters to Beckham, really. Use him maybe a little more in the same way that we did his rookie season, where he caught more passes at the line of scrimmage.
Well, we have seen a little bit of that. I mean, we've seen Odell Beckham in the backfield, on quick little dish off plays. And, you know, certainly I think, you know, that's, you can try that, but I think eventually he's better off down the field making big plays like he's been doing all year.
Well, Jeff, I think part of it, too, is that they're trying to take that away. I mean, they see that the Giants want to get rid of the ball quick. So when you know a team is trying to do that, what do? You try to take that away so you can't get those quick throws to Beckham. That's why, Christian, what you see a lot of times when you're looking at the tape of these games, you have a safety over the top. When you have a safety over the top, you can allow your corner to press because he has help behind him if he gets beat, and that takes away some of those short throws.
Yeah.
Right, and I guess what I'm saying is that we have to get him the ball more, and whichever way they're playing him is kind of, you know, like if they're up on him, you know, maybe we could be looking for a bigger play, but if they're not on him, we really need to consider that it's almost automatic for at least a 5-yard gain. And it's just tough right now because everyone was excited about, you know, Shepherd and Cruz really pulling more weight, but the reality is it's more like the last couple of years where Beckham's probably going to have this team on his back if
we're
going to be in the
Christian,
playoffs.
Christian, I'm going to play a little game with you. In 15 games last year, how many targets do you think Odell Beckham Jr. had?
In 15 games, how many targets?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll give you the number. He has 158 in 15 games. Through 8 games this year, how many targets do you think he has?
I'd say maybe 70.
80. So he's on pace for almost the exact same number of targets as last year. Now, they haven't been as efficient in completing passes to him.
And
they're
drops.
Only completing 55% of their passes to Beckham this year. Last year, the number was 61%. The year before that, the number was 70%. And I think a lot of that, as Fiegel said, has, A, to do with drops. Beckham this year probably has 5 or 6 drops, which he did not have last year. And like we spoke about before, I think defenses have caught up a little bit to what the Giants are trying to do offensively.
Well, I'm honestly thinking a little more about Eli in that sense, because Beckham could, it seems like if you're watching these games, Beckham could have like 8 touchdowns already this year, maybe even more. And Eli just really isn't getting the ball to anyone that well right now. And I know it's not just his fault, but I just wanted to mention another quick point before you let me go.
Sure.
Sterling Shepard, that dude is about as jacked as he wants to get for playing wide receiver, man. Yeah. I mean, that dude is just filled right out looking like a running back.
Yeah. I don't know if he's quite that thick, but at 5'8 or 5'9, whatever he is, or 5'10, I think he's listed at, and, you know, he's all about 200 pounds. When you don't have the height, you need to get a little thickness to you. So, frankly, Jeff,
he's
just so you can
height.
Survive. Otherwise, you're going to get killed.
He's got the ups, too.
Absolutely.
Man,
thanks for the call, Christian. Appreciate it.
And really, when you think about Victor Cruz may or may not be playing this game, most likely not, that's going to mean that Sterling Shepard is going to get a little bit more action this week. And
Could be a big day for him.
I have a feeling he's going to have a nice evening. I wouldn't say afternoon. It's going to be evening, 8:30. But, yeah, so he could and, you know, really, when teams go into that two deep safety look against the Giants offense has trouble. Middle of last week, they were in a single safety, and Odell Beckham just killed them right down for the first touchdown. So a lot of these teams, as we remember at the beginning of the season, we kept saying, and John pointed out many times, these teams, the Giants just do not know how to run an offense against those two deep safeties, and they had a lot of problems with it. Until they can figure it out, these teams are going to capitalize on that. But, you know, I have a really good feeling about this offense this week, about putting their first 30 points up on somebody. Because, I last year they had, I don't know the number, John, maybe you know it, but I know it was more than 4 games, 4 or 5 games of 30 points or more. They have yet to make that They had the highest scoring last week, was the most points they scored all season. So they're trending in that sense, and I think this is a good week to get above that 30-point, as long as they don't turn the ball over. Okay, I think, you know, Eli last week, the two fourth-quarter interceptions, the one at the very end of the game that did quite possibly could have cost them the game. The defense stepped up again. They did real well.
Wow.
But
guess how many 30-point games they had last year?
I'm guessing it was six.
Seven.
It was seven.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Almost half now, of the game.
Three of those or four of those ended up being losses.
Incredible, right? I mean, yeah, because they couldn't, you know, those five of those games, well, we know in the last 2 minutes of the...
The Panthers game was a loss. They scored 30 on the Saints. That was a loss. And there was one of the one I saw in there.
Was
right?
The Steeler?
I already closed the window.
They didn't play the Steelers last year, did they? Or did they play them the year before?
No, that was not. That was 4 years ago. Because they're playing the Steelers
again. They're playing
them
this year.
So let me see. Giants, 30 points. They beat the Redskins 32-21. They beat the Niners 30-27. They lost to the Saints 52-49. They beat the Bucks 32-18. They beat the Dolphins 31-24, lost to the Panthers 38-35, and lost to the Eagles 35-30. So three losses when they scored 30 points or more.
Yeah. Wow. Well, listen, the Giants, all their wins this year have been 20 points. So they're close games. But the difference between this team and last year's team is this team has been able to know how to win and close out those games. How they've done it, I don't know without a running game, but they've been able to do it. So
I got a bad feeling about this.
So soon.
Losing his mind.
So soon, I thought we'd go, you know, wait for Charlie
right
a little bit later.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Charlie in Portland, Maine, joins us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. How are you, Charlie?
Are you happy,
hey,
Charlie?
Hey, guys. I'm good. Hey,
two calls for Maine.
Hey, look. We're never going to have a clean game. We're always going to have turnovers. That's the nature of our team.
We never said it was going to be a clean game, Charlie. We said it was going to be a high-scoring game.
But what happened last week? You said the Giants were going to get slaughtered last week, Charlie. They won.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. They won, and I was happy they won.
I'm sure you're happy. I'm sure you were happy for just a quick second, because you're never happy.
No, I was happy.
Well,
but
sure.
If we're going to start the Munchkin guard against Atkins, my God, he's not going to be able to hold that guy back. And even if he does, the guy's going to put his hands up like a giant tree and bat down every pass that Eli throws in the middle. I mean, it's going to be awful.
Give the kid a chance, Charlie. Maybe he'll surprise you.
Oh, come on. The guy is such a little munchkin dude. He's not going to do anything against that guy. But that's okay. We don't have our five best offensive linemen playing anyway, and they're not going to ever do it, and we're never going to run the ball, so we're going to have to win without running the ball. Because that's going to be our MO, because we're not going to be able to run the ball. No matter what we try to do, put in different, you know, running backs, doing everything, we still can't. We put in Newhouse as a tight end, you know, the jumbo guy.
How'd you like
guy,
that, by the way?
We still can't run the ball.
How'd you like that? How'd you like that move, putting in Newhouse?
I wouldn't have put Newhouse in. I would have put Beattie in. But fine. I was glad that they did something, you know, and tried something different. So that was good. So, but, you know, the thing is like we don't have an offensive line configured that can run the ball.
Charlie, I have some advice for you. I think in all your free time, I think you need to create some type of Will Beattie fan page. You know, and you can connect with Will. You guys can work together on it
because you
are obsessed to an unhealthy level with Will Beattie. It's very unhealthy. I worry about you.
Look, he is a better linemen than the guys we got out there. I don't care what anybody says.
Then why hasn't
given
he played
him a chance?
A
I don't know why they're not giving him a chance. The only thing I can think of
is because the coaches don't agree with you.
It's because the coaches are, you know, listening to Jerry Reese and they don't want him to look stupid.
Jerry Reese signed him
in the first place.
Jerry Reese signed him. Why would Jerry Reese sign the guy and then tell the coaches not to play him? That doesn't make any sense.
They're making him look more stupid by him signing him and not playing him.
You can't tell me that Hart is a better lineman than Will Beattie is.
In fact,
I want to see him out there. And fine, if he doesn't perform,
Charlie,
then I'll say okay.
Hold on.
They haven't even given him a chance.
Hold on. I am going to quote.
No, he hasn't played a down.
No, but he's played plenty in practice, and I'm going to quote Mike Solari, when he spoke to the media last week.
Offensive line coach.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find this quote. Here we go. Bobby has gotten better. It's going to help us that all of a sudden there is more depth on the offensive line now that Bobby has played and has some games under his belt. This is in reference to Marshall Newhouse being back. He's getting some confidence. John is doing a nice job adjacent him. They're coming along. Marshall is working hard. He's getting really close. Ben will make that decision. And I'm trying to find – he had a quote here where he said Bobby Hart is one of the five best offensive linemen on the team, and that's why he has to be on the field.
So wrong. There's some politics going on, but whatever.
Was there a quote?
Here we go. Have you ever – he was asked about changing the potential offensive lineup. Here's the quote from Mike Solari. This is from the mouth of the offensive line coach, Charlie. Right now – Bobby is the fifth best offensive lineman. He's ascending and he's getting better. He's doing some nice things. The hard thing for someone like a Bobby Hart, a young offensive lineman, is consistency. That'll come. He's working at it and doing a nice job in the classroom.
Great. Give him an A in the classroom. I'd rather have somebody actually getting the A on the field, which he is not. Hey, but guys, I got a great news for you.
What's that?
Bob is sending me his ticket. So I'm going to the Giants game. I got my flight. I'm going to see you guys December 18th. So get ready.
Oh, wait. Okay.
What a better way to get ready for the holidays than to get a visit from Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie, we look forward to seeing you, pal. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie. We look forward to seeing you. That would be fun.
He should come down in a big Santa suit.
Was there a quote?
I should take that back. He should not come down as Santa. He should dress up as the Grinch. Because that's what he is. He should be the big
blue Grinch.
Instead of the green Grinch, he should be the big blue Grinch.
No question. And I wonder if there's a quote in there that says that Will Beatty is Charlie's favorite player. Is it saying in there anything?
No, it does not.
No, I just wonder if that's – or his best friend. I mean, Beatty, he went to UConn, so it's close to up in Maine. They probably hang out somewhere down the line. But Bobby Hart, okay, and Mike Solari said it. The guy's getting better. And you know what? I'd rather see a quote that says that than him say, he's regressing. He's getting worse. I mean, come on.
I mean, you probably wouldn't say that if it was true anyway. But the point being that –
I hope not.
And I don't think that's true, by the way. But the point being here, Jeff, is that he's a young guy.
Yeah.
He's – been put into a very difficult situation after playing mostly guard in the offseason. He played some tackle, but he was a guard an awful lot too, this first year, especially when he was here. And he's done a good enough job for a second-year, seventh-round pick. I mean, how much do you expect out of somebody like that?
I'll tell you what. You know, Newhouse is getting healthier. Obviously, he played a little bit last week, okay?
And if Bobby Hart starts to stumble, he could be slid back in.
And if he doesn't, then Newhouse can be put in there. He's a better blocker than any of the tight ends on this roster. And so they can use him. Okay.
Right.
He's gonna be active every game. You might as well use him in a position of strength and try to, you know, because obviously we know this about the tight ends on this team. They're not very good at blocking, and Newhouse is a lineman. He knows how to block. So I liked the move of them. That's why I asked Charlie if he liked it. He said yes. Thank you, Charlie. But I feel like that's a strength for the Giants. They can bring him in situational football and put him in there to block.
Let's go to line two, Chris in Virginia Beach. He's up next. What's up, Chris?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, fellas, man. Hey, look.
What's up?
The offensive line, man. Look, they're getting better, man.
Okay.
I know it's at a snail's pace. I know it. I'm watching the game just like everybody else, but I've seen worse across the league. I really have. And we're getting better. It's slowly but surely. It's starting to come together, man. If y'all, not y'all, you know, per se, but, you know, generally speaking, just be patient. Just be patient. And I'm sorry, go ahead. Somebody wanted to say something?
No, when you said the offensive line at the very beginning of when you came on here, I was like, here we go again. We're going to talk. It's kind of nice to hear somebody talking maybe more positively about the offensive line. You know, I mean,
it's not great, you know, but there's not a lot of great lines in the game right now, period. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the guys are getting better. And another thing, why I wanted to call, I feel like Eli's getting a lot of heat right now. And yeah, he's getting rid of the ball. quickly, and you know, he doesn't want to get his block knocked off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's okay, because I feel like he's saving us a lot of second and 15s, third and 20s. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather see him get rid of the ball than get hit and sacked and running around back there. You know, we all know when Eli starts running, everybody holds their breath, because we're like, oh, God, no. He's going to get hit, or he's going to get, you know, the ball's going to come out. Well, nobody wants to see that. So I'd much rather see him just chuck the ball quickly, move on to the next play. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I like it.
Appreciate the call, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's their game plan. I mean,
and look, guys, the fact Eli Manning, I don't know exactly what the number is now, but I still think he's like third or fourth fewest sacks by any quarterback.
Oh yeah, he was second last week.
And he was second last week. I wasn't sure if he had moved down that list.
Yeah,
at all.
I mean, so I would imagine they're probably still there. He didn't have any sacks. Was he sacked one time last week? I'm not sure.
Just once in London. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So I mean.
And I think last week it was just won by Brandon Graham. And I think
so that's 12 on the season. So that's still going to keep him up there at the tops of the league. And, you know, what the Giants' offensive line got to get better at is their run blocking. And we all know that. And I think, again, I hate to beat a dead horse, but I think this is the week that they can get it going against this defense.
201-939-4513. Line one. Let's go to Matt in New York. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, John. Hey, Jeff. What's going on?
Hi,
guys?
Matt. What's up?
Hi, Matt.
Hey, I had a cool story I wanted to share with you guys.
Sure.
A little experience I had with a Giants scout this weekend. I was down in Atlanta with a couple of buddies of mine. We're seniors in college, so we decided to take a trip out to Auburn to watch the Auburn-Vanderbilt game, and we were staying in Atlanta, and we went down to watch the Giants-Eagles, and all of a sudden we're sitting down. And the table next to us, I say to my buddies, I said, hey, I know that guy from Finding Giants on NFL Network. I've seen the show.
Chris?
And it was Joe Collins.
Oh, Hollywood Joe, baby. We love
and
Hollywood.
I'll tell you what, man. So I didn't want to, like, embarrass him, because he was a great guy. And I have a Weston Richburg jersey. He's my favorite Giant. So, you know, not too many people have that. So he had said something to me about it. So I said, yeah, you know, I'm a big fan. I played offensive line in college myself and blah, blah, blah. So he tells me that he's a scout and, you know, we're talking about it. And let me tell you something. Some of the information that he was talking to me about, just about how they scout, nobody should ever call this show ever again and rip Jerry Reese and complain, because some factors that go into scouting of what he was telling me, it's not even something that we would even think of, certain assets. And I'll tell you what, there were certain things he was talking to me about, you know, different guys' family lives or, you know, whatever it may be. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want to, you know, say on air, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But I think it's, you know, it's great because, like, my buddies and I, we analyze, we make profiles for guys. We love it. But there are certain aspects that we just thought, wow, you know, certain guys coming out early or, like I said, family aspects or different things. It was incredible, and it was just a really cool experience and gave me, like, a really good insight and, I think, reality check as far as coming down to player signings and whatnot. So I would say buyer beware when people call up the show and want to rip everybody, because there's a lot of things that go into it that – I think we tend not to think about. So I just wanted to talk about that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Good story.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
great stuff.
Guys.
And
he
brings up a good point, because, you know, you really the NFL draft, the way it goes, these teams spend so much time on investigating players. And I don't mean investigating, like, just because all of them are bad, but they do their due diligence on these people, because it makes a big difference when guys are in the locker room and you have good character people. You know, there might be a guy out there, John, that's a really, really good player, but he's just a bad dude. I mean, there's some organizations that will take a flyer on a guy like that, but a lot of them won't. And that's what the caller was saying. There's a lot that goes into picking players.
And medical, too.
And medical's a huge one.
Right.
I mean, a really big one. And so, yeah, buyer beware is exactly right. You got to be careful of who you wish for. And some of these guys, you just can't get them, because there's other reasons why the team doesn't like them. A lot of times it's not just because of ability. It's a lot of different things. I got cords all over the place today. I'm trying to make sure I'm not kicking these things out.
Right? I already did one, so I did, yeah.
Well, better you than me.
201-939-4513. Final call of the show is Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, wrap us up. What's going on?
Hey,
buddy?
Joe.
Hey, hi, guys. My blood's starting to pump. We're getting close.
All right.
We're going to have some yes, good sir. Games to watch on Saturday there, rooting for the Falcons, the Steelers.
Or Sunday.
Who's
Sunday.
The other one there?
Sunday games.
The
They're not playing Saturday games yet, are they?
No.
Sunday, I mean. Sunday early. Because we're not playing on Monday. So, I mean, our interest will be there. So there'll be some good games there.
Yep.
Now getting to – and this is something, too, that might spur us on if the Steelers can come through, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of really and truly the Cowboys are on a roll. So, but we're going to have to play our best game, really, too, against the Bengals. They're on the bye week, and you said, you know, they might switch some things up, too. And I'm
yep.
sure if I was the coach, I would have been on them about their penalties. I would have been out there about their, you know, missed tackles. So if they're going to switch something up on, I think it might be on defense a little bit there.
Agreed.
Because their offense been seeming the role. Don't you believe that?
Yeah, yes, Joe, definitely. I think you're absolutely right. And you brought up a point that me and Jeff actually hadn't mentioned so far on today's show. And that's the chippiness from the Bengals. And they will be chippy.
Oh, they are
they will hit you out of bounds. They will commit the personal foul penalty. They'll talk to you. They'll try to get in your ear.
Right.
Vontaze
right.
Perfect. Pac-Man Jones.
Like
go
I
down
said
the list.
Too, if it's real quick, if anything else, they do have nice eyes on that line there, you know, to block the balls. But who, if you had to take a defense, would you take the Eagles or the Bengals defense?
Eagles.
Eagles, yeah. Well, that showed us. And as far as talking about Eli, he's been last week. Look at that ball he dropped in the cruise and everything like that, and moving players around. Even they were talking on the Philadelphia shows here I watch here locally how Eli directed Beckham on that play there. He went over on the end. He moved them over to the end there for that quick little pass there because they knew they had a mismatch with that small corner and that Eli's playing good if you
yeah.
give him time to block or to pass the ball. So but we're gonna have to play a good game and be up on it because, you know, if I was the coach of the Bengals, they're right in the thick of things too on it. I think they're what, first there in their division too?
They are half game back. They're 3-5-1. The Ravens are actually now in first
yeah,
because
they
won yesterday
yeah.
and then Steelers I believe are 4-4, right? They're at 500.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
And one other thing, I'm
yeah.
hoping if Cruz don't play, maybe we'll see a Tavares King and a Star is Born. I remember in the early this year era how he took that slant and went. So maybe he can come through just like Cruz did there in the preseason and become a star. So go Giants. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. I mean, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. He's always a good call.
Drew was earlier. Anyway. You
ready?
Ready?
I'm ready.
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fegels?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Fegels with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
And we do.
That was just so...
John
and you do.
Schmelk.
All right, here we
but
go,
not,
Mr.
Not today,
Fegels.
Folks, because I have a feeling that I'm going to blow it out of the water today.
I thought about taking it easy on you, but then I decided not to. So, because I'm not a nice person.
No, you're not.
So
when
let's
it comes to this game, you're not. You're
Jeff
brutal.
Fegels, have you played with James Williams?
Yes. J-Dub.
He totally made that up.
No, I did.
But correct. You did play with James
with
Williams.
The Cardinals.
Incorrect. What position did James Williams play?
No, James Williams was a wide receiver for the Cardinals.
He was not. He was a wide receiver. No, he did not.
Yeah, but I played with them. He was
right,
a wide
I'm
receiver.
I'm giving you one more chance. You play with a wide receiver. He was not the Cardinals. So I'm giving you one more chance to get the years you played with him. And if you get that right, you're getting a check in the check box. It was not the Cardinals.
It was Seattle.
Bing! I'll give that one to
winner,
you.
Winner, chicken dinner,
he
baby.
Played with the Seattle Seahawks from 2000 to 2002.
There it is.
Congratulations.
And his nickname was J-Dub.
Jeff Fegels.
J-Dub, baby. Remember J-Dub? Yeah. I swore to.
Can you give me other personal information about James Williams?
Honestly, I think there was a James Williams that played for the Cardinals, too. But
I mean, I can. Let me see. I'm going to search James Williams. Every James Williams that played. in the National Football League. We'll pop up here if I type that in the Pro Football Run. Let me see. I got James Williams.
Please be a James Williams with the Cardinals.
With the Seahawks. I got one with the Bears, the defensive lineman. I got a defensive back. I have a defensive back with the Cardinals from 1990 to 1996.
There
so
you go.
So you did play with James
Thank
Williams
you.
On the Cardinals.
That should be a double whammy. Because, yes, I did play with both of those guys.
I'll give you the plus one. Because you actually played with two James Williams.
Two J-Dubs.
See, this is how long this guy's played. He's played with two guys with the same name.
But
come
I
on.
Knew there was a J-Dub with the
You probably don't remember James Williams from the Seahawks.
I remember both of them.
Oh, I'm sure you don't.
Yes, I do. Yes, I knew it was going to be a good day today.
All right, you're back at 500, 7-7. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
right,
you.
By the way, Impressive. Joe brought this up for the last couple minutes of the show. A lot of good games this week. I mean, if you have a Sunday where you're not doing a whole lot, like this guy,
Which
you plant
you like?
Yourself in front of a TV, you watch some football.
Well, we know we're watching the Steelers and the Cowboy game.
And that's at 425. And if you want to flip it, commercials at 425. You also have the Cardinals and the Niners, Dolphins and Chargers, So 425, you want to lock in the Cowboys Steelers and let it roll out. 1 o'clock, you got a bevy, a plethora, a bundle
zone.
Of tremendous games to keep an eye on. You got Chiefs-Panthers, who, though not a division game or even a conference game.
Panthers playing well.
Two good defensive teams. I even think Saints-Broncos is an interesting matchup. A very good pass defense, the best in the league, against an excellent pass offense. And that game's in New Orleans, so it'll be tough for that Broncos defense. I think that's a very good game. Rams-Jets. If you're a Jet fan, great. Packers-Titans, whatever, not getting excited. But then Falcons-Eagles in Philadelphia.
I'll watch that one.
That's a big-time game, division game. And then another division game, Vikings at Redskins, same time, 1 o'clock. Right. Two really big games at 1 o'clock that you can put on. And you have Bears and Bucks, and, of course, you'll be watching Texans and Jaguars. I'm sure you're very excited about that one.
When is that game being played? Tuesday at 3?
Yeah, it might as well be for the people that are going to be watching that. But there are a lot of good 1 o'clock games and good football games in general that will be going on Sunday
personally,
afternoon.
Personally, I'm watching every one of those division games. I'm watching the Cowboy game, the Eagle, and the Redskin game. Those are all three of those are going to be really good games.
And then you have Seahawks and Patriots Sunday night. That's also an excellent game. And then, of course, you have the Giants and Bengals on Monday night. That game is in Foxborough.
Interesting.
At Gillette Stadium.
Interesting. I'd like to see the Patriots win that game,
This is a great day of football.
That is a good thing. And you know what? For you and for a lot of us that work on Sundays, we don't get a lot of these days to sit back and watch football on Sunday.
The
we
wife's
really
not
don't.
Thrilled about it. Oh, you're off from work. You're not doing a football game. What are you going to
do?
I want to watch football.
No, you don't.
And she just looks at me like, are you
She looks
me?
At you because you're like, you. All you
I
do is do
you
football.
I hate you so much. How do you want to do this to me on a Sunday that you actually have off? One of the few weekends, because I'm doing a college football game on Saturday, so I can't even give her Saturday. I'm traveling tonight. I'm not even home tonight. And that is – it's going to be a tough sell, but I think I've already made it. I'm going to invite my dad over. My brother's going to come by. We're going to watch the games together like it's back in the day.
I kind of hope
it
might
be
like pouring rain or something Sunday, so you have to stay inside.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think
you're
going
to have to
like
take the dog out a couple times,
I'll happily take the dog out. I have no problem with that.
That's fine.
Halftime, bring him down.
When your dog's
business,
looking at you going, dude, you're going to take me out? You've been watching football for 4 hours. Can I go to the bathroom, please? No, it's good. Good slate.
Yeah.
Be a good game Monday night. The Giants need to win to continue this streak. And, when we didn't mention about the NFC East standings and stuff, but the Giants, they've got to keep pace with the Cowboys. I really believe that the Cowboys are going to pull their Cowboys stuff sooner or later and think drama is going to emerge itself into that organization.
Apparently, Tony Romo went to Garrett and Jerry Jones yesterday and said, I'll run the scout team in practice.
Wow.
That's what I heard on the radio coming in on Boomer and Carton this morning. I did not confirm that with my two eyes. Craig Carton has the tendency to sometimes not be completely accurate.
Well,
but that's what they said on the radio this morning. I'm
or
not
maybe
sure.
It's the other way around. They went to Tony Romo and said,
Let
you will
see.
Be running the scout team.
Let me see if I can find this
because
story.
You don't want to I just feel like at this juncture with that team, I wouldn't be surprised if they rocked the boat just because that's who they are. And as Giants fans, you hope that they do. But, I mean, why? If it's not broke, don't fix it, man.
I don't see anything about that on here. But he is apparently the scout team quarterback, but I don't see anything about him going to them and volunteering for that. But the bottom line is that they've managed to handle that quarterback situation fairly well down there so far.
Yeah, that's
but like
what I'm
you
saying.
Said, it's the Cowboys.
It's the Cowboys. And if Tony Romo is healthy and he is the backup, they got a pretty good backup quarterback. But I just don't think that you want to mess with what's going on.
Hey, look, quite frankly, just real quick, I'll bring up their schedule, Jeff, before we say goodbye so we can go grab some.
Because you know what I'm talking about, right? The Cowboys are going to do something that's going to just derail them.
Remember, they lost two key players in the secondary a couple weeks ago, too. They lost Morris Claiborne, and they lost Barry Church, who's also a very solid player at safety.
Claiborne was having a good year.
He was. So they're going to have to overcome that. Again, the Browns last week. Not a problem, but now you get into the tougher part of the schedule.
Tough game this weekend.
And
their next
four games, and five if you count the Giants, are actually really, really tough. They're at Steelers.
That's a tough game.
Home
right
versus
there.
Baltimore. Not a really hard game, but the Baltimore's a
is
tough physical
Baltimore?
Team. No, it's in Dallas.
Okay.
Home versus the Redskins. That's Thanksgiving. Always
that's
a tough game.
That's going to be a good game.
Absolutely. Then at Minnesota, at Giants. So over these next five games, if the Cowboys can lose – Two or three, including a loss to the Giants. The Giants are right in the mix there for the division.
And maybe including one of those Redskins.
And then the Cowboys close the year, by the way, home versus the Bucks, home versus the Lions, and then at Eagles, the final game of the year.
Which is a lot with the Giants. They got to play the Lions. They got to play the Eagles. They don't play the Bucks this year, but the Giants at least. Yeah, yeah. So, hey.
There's still a chance at the division here, folks. You got to take care of business, though, if you're the Giants. Because you can't – you never want to count on another team to lose. You got to take care of your own business and win.
No question. And you know what? You got to stay hungry. And as Coach Coughlin always used to say, keep your eye on the prize. Just keep it one game at a time. Keep it going. Monday night, AFC opponent. You know, these guys don't – the Bengals do not play well on prime time. They don't play well on the road. And, you know, listen, Eli Manning averaging over 340 yards a game passing this year. He needs to continue that streak. That'd be good.
All right, folks. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes back on Monday. It'll be me and Meadow as we get ready for the game.
Meadow.
And then, of course, you'll get some more Giants talk on WFAN with the Coors Light Giants Game Day pregame show, which comes your way at 7 o'clock. Myself, Mr. Fiegels, Mr. Meadow, and Mr. Dottino will have exclusive interviews with Ernie Accorsi, Tom Coughlin, and Justin Tuck live
at the
stage at MetLife Central.
That's going
to
be great.
I also talked to Leon Hall, who'll give us a little scouting report on the Bengals, who you obviously with for a very
long time.
We've got
to talk to. And maybe he'll be in the lineup again.
No one better to talk to. And it should be a heck of a fun day. So come out, listen on Monday at noon, and then come out to MetLife Stadium if you're at the game. MetLife Central all starts at 7 o'clock
come
right
out and
there
say hello to us.
At
we're
MetLife
on the
Stadium and on Sports Radio 66 and 101.9. FM, WFAN, and WFAN FM New York. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy your football weekend. We'll see you on Monday night.